And with the Lord's help, we turn to the chapter you read a moment ago in John chapter 6. And we take as the words of our text, verse 44. John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Magnets are something almost magical in their properties. You never seem to tire of playing with magnets and noticing the strange attraction between them. There's something away, two sort of metallic-like substances just stick together with nothing sticky between them, no evident outward force being applied to them. And trying to explore magnetic radiation, poles of the planet, the electromagnetic field of the Earth, the connection between magnets and magnetism and electricity, all these things, I confess, I find fascinating but also bewildering. I know I'm certainly not the person to try and explain magnetism. But there is another drawing, seemingly equally invisible, but more marvelous by far. Even more beautiful, even more intriguing, even more fascinating to try and understand. And that's why we've chosen verse 44 of John 6 as our text. It talks about this drawing. The Father drawing the sinner to Christ the Son. And you'll know that if you have magnets the wrong way around, they don't attract, they repel. And that's the way we are by nature to the Lord. We are not attracted to him at all. We'd rather be far from him. And yet when the Father begins to draw, there's a strange and beautiful attraction that occurs. How does it happen? When you see someone who begins to take an interest in the gospel, begins to have a concern for their soul, when you see them change from being utterly disinterested, evidently, obviously bored in church, they begin to pay attention, they begin to notice, they seem to be engaged, they are simply being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we explain that? Not easily. And tonight I want us to consider the words of our text and ponder what happens when a lost sinner begins to be and is then drawn to the Saviour. And I hope that this itself will be an encouragement to any who are here unsaved. May you discover what it is to be drawn to the Saviour. May these words themselves be used to draw you to the Saviour. But I also hope it will encourage Christians who are praying for their loved ones, who seem to be pushed away from Christ, who seem to be repelled, not drawn to the Saviour, terrified that their loved ones, as yet unconverted, will never be converted. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And we trust it will also be of some use to doubting believers to show, are you in fact drawn? That you are moved in heart and soul, drawn to the Lord Jesus, that he is not nothing to you, that your affection and interests are truly tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got 3 main points, but the last one's quite brief. The second one will be our main focus tonight. But our first point is man's inability to come to Christ. Man's inability to come to Christ. The fact that Jesus here speaks about the Father drawing sinners to him is in contrast to what he has begun to say, no man can come to me. Only God the Father can do this then. And that is despite the loveliness of Christ. He does not change in this process. He is the chiefest among 10,000. The perfect, holy, harmless, undefiled God-man, Saviour. And yet, as sinners born into this world, we are simply not drawn to him. By nature, we see nothing beautiful in him to desire him as our Lord Saviour. We simply view him as nothing. So to start, you see, we have to begin here with man's inability to come to Christ. We need to define what that is and describe what that's like. Because you and I are fallen, we are of Adam's seed. We are fallen in Adam. So therefore there is a guilt upon us from the moment that we are conceived. We come into this world then as sinful, broken, cursed by God's holy law. We do not have then love for the Lord God in our hearts. We are incapable in that condition of loving God. Because loving God is good. And we are fallen into sin. We are not good, and we can do nothing good. Therefore, we cannot love God, nor the things of God, nor the people of God, nor the day of God, nor the word of God. We cannot rise higher than our fallenness. That is the level of our existence, fallenness, sinful fallenness. And we cannot outrun it, we cannot outdo it, and we cannot by ourselves overcome it. Therefore, if we are to close with Christ, we are going to have to be drawn to him by a force outside of ourselves. Because of ourselves, we never would or could be drawn to the Lord Jesus. And that is no fault of his. It is instead that we do not want him. We do not have any desire for him. We do not see that he is of any use to us, that we have any need for him. What's that like? No man can come to me. Well, it is, in fact, a curse. A lack of interest in Jesus is itself part of God's curse on us, or at least part of the evidence of God's curse in our lives. When you cannot see, you are blind. When you can't enjoy fine food, you've lost your taste. When you can't delight in beautiful, harmonious music, you have no ear to hear, no appreciation of the harmonies and the tunes and the melody. So when you cannot see the beauty of one who is lovely, then the issue is with us. We are cursed. We cannot see the loveliness of Christ. Have you ever thought how awful that is? What is wrong that that is true? And that is not a random act of God. It is not an arbitrary decision. It is a judgment that we are under this curse. Your lack of delight in Jesus is in fact evidence that you are under divine judgment, because Christ is himself the judge of all the earth. Therefore, we fear him by nature and can't imagine ever going to him or being drawn to him. But we run from him by nature because he is the judge. And we are the guilty. That's what it is like. To have this inability to come to him. We are cursed, we are judged, and so we are condemned. When we do not love the lovely, when we do not enjoy the marvelous, when we do not take pleasure in the pleasant, then we are suffering under a severe condemnation. And so man cannot come to Christ because we do not want him. We do not want him to be our Saviour. We do not want to get close to him. We do not want to need him. We do not want to love him. Excuse me. We do not want to manage without him. Father, we do want to manage without him. We want to vindicate ourselves despite him. So man lives under a curse, under a judgment and a condemnation. He neither wants Jesus nor wants to want him. And even under the threatenings of the judgment or the pleadings of the gospel, when you may even for a moment be stirred up to some realization of your danger, when a shaft of light, as it were, pierces the gloom and blackness of your soul, you soon find, I don't know what to do next anyway. You find that you are rooted to the spot. You find that you cannot sustain any serious attempt at prayer. You cannot persist in any true Bible reading and seeking for the Lord. You cannot hold a view for very long of what you saw of Christ to desire him in that moment so that you would be saved and converted. It fades from your mind. It is invaded by the world, soon enough. The view you had of Christ for that split second, as it were, tarnishes. And the initial fear of lostness and hell abates. And sin returns to the familiar pattern and unbelief to the habits of mind, ruling unconquered in your heart. It is a desperate situation. Man's inability to come to Christ. What can be done for such a desperate case? He is so incapable. No man can come to me. Not some men cannot come. No man can come to me. Well, that takes us to our second and the main point, which is the Father's drawing to Christ. The section that we read repeatedly covers the bringing together of sinner and Saviour. It's useful to zoom out a little to take in the context. If we go back to verse 37 for a moment. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Notice verse 37. The Father speaks there about a gift that he makes to his Son. A gift. What is this gift? What gift, you say, will the Father, God, give to the Son, God, his beloved Son? He gives a people. This is his precious gift that he gives to the Lord. He gives a people. All that the Father giveth me shall come, Jesus says. God has a gift for his Son, a people of his own. A people for him to love and lead, to redeem and ransom, to pardon and protect, a people to cherish and care for. They will need him. They do need him. And he will save them. There's a people given to the Son by the Father before the world ever was. Christ was given a people, a portion. Here is one way to describe, therefore, why it is that sinners end up with the Saviour. God makes a gift of these sinners to the Saviour, and they are his. Similar language in verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Here it is not so much the Father's gift that is emphasized, but his will. What is his Father's will? It's for a purpose that God gifts a people to his Son. He wills his Son to protect them, not to lose one of them, but to deliver them alive at the last day. Here's another way to describe how sinners end up with a Savior. Yes, it is God's gift, but it's also God's will. This theme has come up in the chapter before, but our focus tonight is especially on verse 44. Where a third description of this matter is given, of how it is that sinners end up with a Savior. God's gift, God's will. But here we have God's drawing. Father's involvement now is described, not in terms of what he gives, not of what he commands, but of what he draws. And he draws sinners to his Son. It's a precious, precious picture. The picture of the Father so operating upon the souls of sinners in their lives as to make them love his Son, his only begotten Son, as to make them to be drawn to the Lord, have affection for him, rising from their hearts, showing them the need that they have of him and the way that Jesus alone meets that need. They're drawn to him. How does that happen? How does a sinner who before had no time for God nor gospel, no concern for his soul nor his sin, no affection for Jesus or love for his cause, how is he ever drawn to the Lord? Let's consider some ways that that can happen. To the encouragement, I hope, perhaps of a single needy soul here tonight. How can our soul who had previously been so implacable to the gospel be ever drawn to the Lord Jesus? And indeed, as we do this, friends, especially if you're not yet saved, but all of us here together, we can ask the same question, boys and girls too. Am I being drawn to Christ? Or am I not? How does this happen? Well, it happens through the strivings of the Spirit, we can say. Here is one common way that God the Father draws chosen sinners to Christ his Son by the Spirit. We should not be surprised at all to find all three persons of the Godhead involved in this drawing of the sinner. You have the Father drawing. You have the Son to whom they are drawn. And you have the Spirit so working in the heart as to cause them to be drawn. But here the sinner is lost and broken and cursed. They had no interest in God's mercy. And then the Spirit begins to work. He begins to unsettle the soul, to ruffle the nest, begins to convince you of your sin, show you of your guilt, presses upon you your damnation, brings before you the fear and dread of the judgment day. You may even become aware under the strivings of the Spirit of something, as it were, tugging you, pulling on the direction of your life, dissatisfying you with the world. This is an initial drawing. It is not yet conversion. It is, if you like, in the strivings of the Spirit, it is a reluctant drawing. Think of the child who has eaten too many sweet things, and there's a table full of more, and they're wanting to eat more and more sweets. And the parent comes and takes them and pulls them away, because they know it'll make them sick, and know it's bad for them. But they want it. They still think they need more. They're being drawn away, but there's no turning away. It's a reluctant drawing. They don't want to get away from it. They have no eye for what they're being taken to. They have no thought, what has my mother or father prepared instead that will be good for me? Have you known perhaps this kind of drawing in a measure in your life where you, as it were, been loosened from the world, you've been pulled away, but you want the world and you've not looked at anything that God has provided. Your eyes are still back on the things that have been taken away from you and you want them. The strivings of the Spirit, be aware of what is happening. When the Spirit strives with you, friends, do not resist. For the Word says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. This is not conversion. Do not think you know better than God, but ask Him if He's pulling you away from these things that you so think you desire, that seem so lovely to you. Has He not something better to show you? So that you can desire Christ for yourself, if He will only show you Christ. The strivings of the Spirit is one way in which the Father draws you, the sinner, to His Son. But it's not the only way. The second way that the Father draws us to Christ is by raising up Christ before us. By giving us views of the Lord Jesus in His loveliness. God knows the value and the beauty of His Son. That's why He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's why He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. God draws attention to His Son. God shines a spotlight on His Son. When He draws a sinner to His Son. He does it in many different ways, of course, but nonetheless it happens. Sometimes it's directly through the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. You may see in Jesus what you never saw before. You see His compassion. You may see His commitment to give His life a ransom for many. You may see His love in laying down His life for His friends. You see perhaps His death has meaning as you never saw it before. Purpose, accomplishment. You may see His healings and miracles as gentle and moving in ways you knew but never saw before. You may see His gospel appeals in the preaching of the evangel as coming from His heart to your heart, as though God did beseech you by us. Friends, you are being drawn to Christ. When Christ has been lifted up before you, you are being drawn to Him. At other times it is perhaps less direct than that, but still nonetheless real. It may be in the overheard prayer of a mother or a father or a friend for your soul. As Christ has been lifted up before you, you hear them pleading to the Lord for you. Or even if you don't always need to hear them, you know that they are pleading to the Lord to have mercy upon you. They might not even directly name you, but you know that they mean you, that they're thinking of you. And you may even be humbled. You may be glad of that prayer, humble to think that Jesus is hearing your name brought before Him. That Jesus may, as it were, trouble Himself with you. And He seems nearer than before in that prayer. More real than before. Why? Because you are being drawn to Him. Or it may be providence. Some trial comes. Some difficulty you had not anticipated. You weren't ready for it. It knocked you flat. And you know you need help, more help than anyone can give but God. And the Lord Jesus seems to know your needs and to offer His help. And you're drawn to His kindness and His consideration for you in a way you never have been before. raising up of Christ in your life and before your eyes is the chief way in which a sinner is drawn to Christ. And the question is this happening to you or not? Are you being drawn to Christ or are you not? It may be little by little, more and more, beginning as it were, slowly at first, but then falling for the love of Christ. Is the interest turning into affection? Is the affection turning into love? Is the attendance turning into hunger? Is the prayer turning into a flow? You're being drawn to Christ. Is he or is he not lovely to you? Ask yourself, what is Christ to you? What is Christ to you? Do you despise him? Do you reject him? Do you hate him? Or do you say, well, I don't do that, but I keep him at arm's length. I want no closeness to him. Or are you in fact drawn to him tonight? Through the raising up of Christ, God draws sinners to his Son. But also, we might say, through the love of God constraining us, these cords of love getting a hold of us. At other times we can be drawn to Christ simply because his love seems to have gripped us. His love seems to be holding us steadfastly, not letting us go. We are constantly becoming overwhelmed, as it were, in our defences that had once stood so firm against Christ, and they are crumbling. Why? It's almost as if we cannot but help ourselves. We are taken to the Lord, conscious of the love that is shown on the cross, agog at that demonstration of divine love for the lost, the Lord's love and suffering for us, his love even being born into this wicked world for us, and that in a low condition, his love that seems to have entirely gripped and grabbed hold of your life, and you didn't ask for it, it just happened. You can't deny it. You may still have remaining doubts in your own heart. Questions about yourself. You're not yet ready to say, I'm converted. Do you love him? I don't know if I love him. But you are brought to say, but he has great love for the lost. You cannot deny his love. You see it. You know it. You can be shy, you can be uneasy, you can be unready about saying more, about daring to assert that you love him. But can you not say, the windows of heaven have been opened and he has poured out a blessing upon me, so that I can say, God is love. And he has certainly shown great love to me. You may not even realize it. You may think you're keeping yourself a bit distant, but no, in this you are being drawn to Christ, friend. But also the Father draws us to the Son through the urgency of our own case stirring us up. This can happen subjectively in our experience. What is happening inwardly whilst we see Christ, as it were? Whilst we are shown the Lord, whilst we are shown his love, whilst we become ourselves enraptured with his love for the lost upon the cross, all at the same time, maybe even, we become compelled to admit that our need is so great, our sins are so many, our condemnation is so just, our guilt is so real. A sinner, at the same time as they see the love of God evidenced through his Son upon the cross, often sees the ruin that their own sin has brought upon them. We see now our depravity. We see now the urgency. We see now why men pled with us to be reconciled to God. We see now our hopelessness. No man can come unto me. We see now too long we have resisted the Spirit. Too long we've refused Christ. Oh, the blinded, foolish eyes that saw no beauty in him. We see now that our unbelief is not just a fact of life, but it is wickedness. We see now that our hearts are full of sin, factories of evil, and that our damnation is just by the law of God. We see that our lives are short and eternity is long. We see that death is sure and certain. We see the judgment day is coming with alarm and fear that hell approaches before we are ready. And this too is the Father's drawing of a sinner to the Son. Even this is showing you, you see, why you need him. Showing you why he alone can help you. And what draws you to him may be now your need of him, as well as his suitability to save you. And the prior views you had of the assurance of that love that sent him to the cross in the first place. He is all that you need. He is all that you could desire. He is all that God himself requires. He is all. And he is so suitable. And he is so near. And he is so ready and so willing and so gentle. He is so reassuring. He is so full of promises. He is so ready to help with his hand stretched out, as it were, knocking now upon the door of your heart. Friends, you are being drawn to the Son. And then there is this wonder of wonders. Because God draws you to the Son by changing your affections for the Son. It's a marvelous thing to see the Lord's love. And to become convinced even that he is quite ready to love you. It's a good thing and a right thing to see that you need him. That without him you are doomed and lost. And to know by the preaching of the gospel that he is willing and ready to help you. But one of the sweetest experiences of all of being drawn to the Son is when you suddenly realize that you love him too. That you despise him no more. That hostility is gone. That you reject him no more. That you neglect him no more. That you dismiss his claims no more. You dare to believe that you love him because he first loved you. And you dare to offer Peter's answer to his question. Lovest thou me? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Because you've been drawn to him. And your affections have been changed by the Father's working through the Spirit upon your heart in a way that you never thought was possible, and that only the Father can do. My heart is not at all what once it was. Are you ashamed even when you think of how once you treated Christ? That's because your heart's been drawn to him. Are you embarrassed now as you look back, grieved over how you used to treat him when he knocked upon the door of your heart? And you derided his calls. And you ill-treated his messengers. That you used to laugh at Christians when they tried to speak to you about your heart, about your soul, about your sin, and about the Saviour. And now, these people are precious to you. Why? Because the Christ that they're speaking about is precious. Because there's been a transformation of the affections of your soul. Yes, you say, I find my feelings greatly altered. In fact, they are altered entirely from what once they were. What has happened to you? The Father has drawn you to his Son. And it's a marvelous thing. Why did he do that? You might wonder, why is a good question to ask sometimes? Why did the Father draw unclean, filthy, ungrateful sinners to his Son? Well, thirdly and briefly and finally, the Father's purpose. Notice again the wider context, verse 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And in our text, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is the will of the Father that by drawing his gifted people to the Son should raise up these poor sinners at the last day. And this is exactly what the Son promises to do. And it is quite wonderful. God draws you to his Son, so that at the last day, you will be raised up to heaven instead of being cast down to hell. God works so in your heart, making you to fall in love with the Lord and Savior Jesus, so that you will be finally spared from the wrath of God, delivered from the curse of the law of God, and spend all the years of forever with him, with his Son, and with the rest of his people. It is that simple. It is that kind and gracious. It is that loving. The Father draws you to his Son to spare you from hell and to bring you into heaven, where you will know his Son better and love his Son forever. Friends, I do not believe that the Word of God is ever pointless or useful. I do not believe that it is empty. I do not believe that it ever returns to him void, but it accomplishes whatsoever he pleases. Is there not then a single soul here? You can put out of your mind everybody around you for a moment. Is there not one soul here tonight? And you become convinced that this is in fact true for you. That tonight again, the Lord is drawing your soul to his Son. That is not of you. You can't do it. It is not of your sin. It won't do it. It's the Father showing you his Son, drawing you to his Son with sweet chords of irresistible love. You may be asking what every Christian has asked, why me? Do you know why he does it? To raise you up to heaven at the last day instead of casting you down into hell. Oh, friend, are you drawn to the Son tonight? Amen. Let us pray.